Alrighty, if you would take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 here this evening. Before I start here preaching, I gotta say something funny. This morning, we were in DVS, and the guys were looking at this the message title I have here. Message title that I'm gonna be preaching tonight is Songs in the Night. Songs in the Night. And man, they were a little jealous of me because they wanted to get to preach that one too. You know, they thought I was doing favorites tonight and I was getting myself out of preaching, but that's not what I'm doing. But this evening, I'm going to be preaching a message called Songs in the Night. I'd like to start by asking you a question. What do you do when it's dark? And I think it will make a little more sense in just a little bit. But another question is what do we do when trials come into our life? What do we do when trials come into our life? So back to Acts 16. Here we're going to go through part of this story here. And I hope it will be a blessing in your life as it is in mine, even right now as I speak. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just want to pray that you just please bless this evening as I give your word to these people. I just pray that you would use it and that you would just take my words and use it in hearts. I pray that you would just continue using this passage in my life as well. I just pray that we just all be encouraged. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Acts chapter 16. So here we have this chapter, 40 verses. We're not going to be looking at this whole chapter, but I'd like to give you a little bit of what's happening here in this passage. If you start looking at verse 11 through 15 here, we see that the story of Lydia. But here in Acts chapter 16 is talking about Paul and Silas. Okay, Paul and Silas are here on their missionary journey, going about preaching the gospel. And here we see that they go to this place in Philippi, and they find a group of people here, looks like having a prayer meeting, and they they meet Lydia, and we see here that she's saved and baptized, and maybe part of her family as well, so it says. They went to their house, so was her family saved as well? We don't know, but here God is doing some work, you know. Paul and Silas are doing what God has asked them to do. You know, they could easily be sitting back at home, enjoying life with whatever they're doing, but here they're obeying God, they're going out and spreading the gospel. And here we see they are blessed by seeing some fruit from it. They're blessed by seeing some Christians here and being able to baptize her as well and stay and abide at her house for a while. But what do we see in verse 16? In the beginning of verse 16, it says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer." Okay, so these, Paul and Silas, these two men, were praying. Okay, what were they praying about? I don't know. Maybe they were going to God, thanking God for what He had given them in the past couple days. Maybe they're asking God to give them more fruit. God, will you give us some more souls here? I don't know what they were praying, but they were in prayer. And it says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer." So something's about to happen while they're praying. And it says, "A certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." Okay, so what happens here is this girl that is possessed by a devil meets them. How did she meet them? I don't know, but she comes in contact with Paul and Silas while they're praying. And it says, "Her masters, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." So what? Here, she had some masters, and she would pretty much tell your fortune, and they would get lots of money through her, right? So, you know, her masters were making out pretty good. They liked this plan of their gain here. But here is this girl, you know, she's not in her own self. She is in the devil's in her at this point. And so here she meets Paul and Silas while they're praying. And it says, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Now, I thought this was really interesting. This doesn't have so much to do with what I'd like to talk about tonight. But it's interesting how Satan likes to twist things, right? Here's this girl who is possessed by a demon, and yet he is having her tell the truth. Do you see anything wrong with that? These men are the servants of the Most High God. I'd say that's 100% correct. Then it says, "which show unto us the way of salvation." I would say that's correct as well. You know, that's what Paul and Silas here are doing. You know, but what the devil here wanted to do is he wanted to twist it. You know, everyone knew who this girl was. Everyone knew that she was influenced here by the devil. And the devil was here trying to attack Paul and Silas. Was this girl, you know, mocking them by saying that? I don't know exactly how it was going on. But we see in verse 18, and it said, "And this did she many days, but Paul being grieved." You know, Paul is grieved. He said, you know, this is not good for us. Something needs to happen about this. You know, we want freedom of the gospel. We're going to be able to share with those. We don't need, you know, a devil-possessed girl falling behind us, you know, trying to proclaim before us what we're doing. So you start to wonder, you know, why did this have to happen? Why is this girl, you know, following us after something good happened? You know, we're trying to do right. We're trying to obey God. And, you know, why does this thing have to come into our life? You know, why is this, you know, person, why is this girl getting in the way of our ministry? You start to wonder, you know, why? But in verse 18, it says, "And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And he came out the same hour." Okay, well, yeah, I'm fine with that. You know, something was wrong. Something didn't seem right. But God, through God's power, Paul commanded this spirit out of this girl. And look at that. God just did a miracle, right? You know, something here in part of Paul's ministry, you know, something different than leading someone to Christ. But at the same time, God was working. So, you know, we see something good, and we see something come into our lives, and we don't understand why it's there. You know, there's a lot of times in our lives, you know, we're living what we believe is what God wants us to live, how God wants us to live. We're doing right, and all of a sudden something comes into our life that's not, you know, not destroying us, but it's like, God, why did you put that in my life? You know, why is that there? Seems like I don't have full potential because that's there. We start to wonder why God has it. And then, before we know it, you know, God takes it out of our life, and we're happy again. You know, we keep going on with the things God has given us. We keep going on with life. And then we come to verse 19 of Acts chapter 16, and says, "And when her masters saw that their hope of their gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers." Okay, now something bad happens again. You know, now they're caught, these masters of this girl. You know, their gains were gone. You know, I find this also interesting that these masters obviously knew about Paul and Silas, right? They knew that they were there. And they didn't have any problems with them until their gains that they had were gone. So what do? They go bring them into the marketplace unto the rulers, verse 20, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. All right, here, I studied this out a little bit. It's interesting that here the Roman culture, they were not allowed to have anybody in that were going to show them new gods. They didn't want anybody to bring new gods into their people, into the Romans here. And so, to a point, they were being accurate. They were telling these people that, yeah, these men are bringing in a new religion. You know, it wasn't new, but to them it was something that's new. They hadn't heard before. And they're saying, you know, these guys are going against what we believe. You need to take care of it. But that's not why they really took him there. They took him there because, you know, all the gains that they were getting, well, they all disappeared and, you know, they didn't like that. So again, we ask ourselves the question, you know, why? You know, why? We were doing what's right. We were following God. You know, why did these men have to catch us and take us to the rulers here of the city? Let's keep reading. Verse 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. All right, here we ask ourselves the question again, why? Why did God allow them to be beaten? You know, here, you know how they used to do it back in the day is, at least somewhat of my study, I didn't research it too much, but what they would do is they would take a vote from all the people, and they would see, you know, what their punishment should be. But here it seems as though they didn't even do that. They just said, these guys need punished. Let's whip them. Let's give them what they deserve. So it says, magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. So they're beaten, something that I couldn't imagine going through. You know, these days in our culture, in America, it's hard for us to imagine what it'd be like to be whipped like that. But I'm sure it's something that we don't want to, you know, even really think about. It's something pretty bad here. That was pretty dreadful here. But you say, okay, why did God allow us to go through this? Why did God allow Paul and Silas to go through this? You know, at least if, you know, they were just put in prison. You know, it would have been a lot better if they were just put in prison, stayed there for a little bit, and then were released. Why did they have to get beat? Why did they have to go through that punishment? But we see here in verse 24, it says, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. So these men are secured well. They're in the middle of the prison where they can't get out. Their feet are put in stocks. You know, these guys are, you know, for all they know, they're planning to stay there for a while. You know, I don't know what, you know, how long periods that people would stay in prison like that, but for all they knew, you know, they could be in there for another day or another year. You know, they weren't really sure, I'm sure. But, you know, it's kind of looking helpless. You know, okay, we're beaten, you know. You know, just to think about being beaten and then think about all those sores and wounds, you know, starting to dry up and stick into your skin, like, that just sounds like a pretty bad situation. You know, God, why did you have to bring us into this? You know, we all understand and we all agree when someone does wrong that they deserve punishment. You know, if someone goes out and steals, they deserved to be punished for the sin. You know, we all understand that. But sometimes we don't understand why things come into our life. It seems as we're punished, but yet we were doing the right thing. These men were doing the right thing. They were going out and sharing the gospel. They were trying to reach the people around them. They were trying to reach the world with the gospel of Christ. So why did God bring this into their life? Why did they have to be beaten? Why did they have to be taken into prison? Why did they have to be put in stocks? I mean, just think about not being able to move your feet and legs and all that stuff. That doesn't sound good. Why? You know, something seems wrong here. Something doesn't make sense. But me stopping to think about it, if something makes sense, does it take faith if something makes sense? It doesn't take faith. It takes faith when something doesn't make sense. You know, when nothing seems to make sense, that's when God is there saying, you know, are you going to trust me? You know, if I'm going throughout my life and everything is looking good, you know, God has provided me with this and with this and with this. Everything's going good. You know, it's not really that hard to trust in God. You know, it's easy to say God's good and, you know, everything he's doing is good. You know, I'm trusting God right now. But that's not real trust because there is no question there. You know, when we don't understand, that's when God is asking us, are you trusting me? All right, let's go to verse 25. And here is kind of where our focus point is. Verse 25 of Acts 16, it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, saying praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." Man, I don't know if I'd be singing praises at midnight. I mean, at midnight of all things. I mean, at least wait till it's morning. I don't know. But here we see Paul and Silas at midnight are praising God. I believe that, you know, if you want to say it was night in two different type of ways. You know, it might have been night where they were, but it was also a dark time in their life. You know, we can't put Paul and Silas into a higher place than us. You know, they're human just like us. They go through trials and struggles. You know, their thought process of, you know, what's God's doing here? Just like us, you know, sometimes it's easy for us to look up to them and say, you know, oh, they're better than us. They're, you know, look at this man of faith here. But they struggle just as much as we do. But it says, "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God." You know, I like the verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." You know, God says he gives us grace in our infirmities. You know, "for my strength is made perfect in weakness." His strength is made perfect in our weakness. You know, when everything's going well for us in life, you know, it's hard for us to trust in God because everything is looking good for ourselves. It's easy to say, you know, look at, you know, I have this good job, I have this going well, you know, and it's easy to start looking at yourself. What happens is when we start getting weak, when we start going through some trials, it makes us look to God, and then that's when God can really show his strength. You know, he can show his strength while everything's going good because he does give us everything, but his strength is made perfect in weakness. And, you know, when we go through things, God never gives us not enough grace. That was a weird way of saying it, but he always gives us enough grace for the trials we go through. You know, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, I might be going through something right now, and you might be going through something totally different. And I'm not meant to go through what you're going through right now, and you're not meant to go through what I'm going through right now. Because God specifically has given me the grace to go through what I'm going through, and he's specifically given you the grace to go what you're going through. But first of all, we see here that Paul and Silas prayed. Okay, so they prayed and they sang praises. You know, I want to think of the praying as the thanking God internally and the praises coming out externally. So first of all, they prayed. You know, were they, what were they praying? We don't know. Were they asking God to deliver them? Possibly. You know, we don't know what they're praying to God. Maybe they were thanking God. You know, that's hard for us to, man, God tells us to thank God for rough times. You know, God's not saying, you know, for us to jump up and down when our car breaks down and all this happens, but we're supposed to thank God because we don't understand why he's putting us, why he gives us trials, but yet he knows that this is the best thing for us. You know, God always gives us the best, and never does he give us less than the best. And you know, sometimes even say your prayer life, you know, you're praying for something and you want to see God answer. And you know, God closes the door and you say, God, why did you close the door? You know, that's what was best for me. And you know what? From the word of God, I can say, that's not what was best for you. Because he didn't open that door. He didn't keep that door open. And it's easy for us to say, you know, there's nothing better. You know, that's what I believed you wanted. That's what you were leading me to. Yet God's saying, you need to trust me. You don't need to understand why things are happening. You don't need to understand why I'm giving you that trial. You just need to trust me because I've got something better for you. So they were thanking here, or they're praying to God here. And second of all, they were praising God. And specifically, they were singing. All right, you know, I know for me, when I'm going through a tough time, I don't feel like singing. You know, I don't care what you're doing, I just don't feel like singing because who you are in the inside is going to come out. And if you're discouraged, and if you're, maybe I should say depressed, you're not going to be singing because your perspective is wrong. You know, we've been talking about perspective a lot this year. You know, what's your perspective? Are you basing your perspective of God of how things are looking like in your life? You know, if you look at your life and say, man, things aren't going good for me, and that's how you base your perspective of God, you know, you're going to be off. Your perspective is not going to be right. Now, you know, you're looking at your life, you should be able to say, base your perspective because God is giving you the best thing, but it's easy for us to see all the negative things, you know, this and this and this, and you say, you know, God must not be good. You know, God must not really want me to have the best. You know, who we are will come out, and if we really trust God, others are going to know. You know, I don't care, you know, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, your family, your friends, whoever it is, you know, if they know you're going through a tough time, they're going to know if you're really trusting or not. You know, we see here in the end of verse 25, it says, and the prisoners heard them. These people around them knew what was going on. You know, I can just imagine, you know, imagine you're one of another just prisoner in there. You're supposed to be in there because, you know, you did something wrong and you're sleeping away and all of a sudden you hear some music. What in the world is going on here? Like, music in here? And, you know, I'm sure that they probably knew about Paul and Silas. I'm sure, you know, even in prison, probably a lot of the facts got around pretty quick of who these two guys are. And, you know, they said, you know, these two guys that got in here that were beaten this morning, you know, they're singing. What's going on? You know, people around them knew. People around them knew of their trust in God. You know, it was very apparent because who they were came out. These men said, you know what, we don't understand what God's doing. You know, did they know what was going to come in verse 26 through 35? They didn't. God did not show them what was going to happen, yet they trusted God. You know, they said, God, we don't know what you're doing. I don't know what you're doing, but this is where you have us. You know, prison doesn't make sense at all. Why would you put us in prison? But God was trying to teach them a lesson and give them something that if they hadn't been in that place, they would have never seen happen. So here we see Paul and Silas prayed, and just for a moment, I just want to think about, you know, what do we do in dark times? You know, what do we do at midnight, if you go with, you know, verse 25? What do you do at midnight? You know, some people, they start questioning God. You know, they start saying, well, you know, is God actually good? You know, does he want the best for me? You know, others, they go to other things for, you know, they just try to get fulfilled by other things. You know, this isn't going on, so I'm just going to get into another world and try to forget what's going on. You know, try to, they get distracted by other things. Others try to take matters in their own hands. You think of Abraham, and God promised a son to him, right? God promised a son that would he would have seed that would be children as many as the stars. You know, God promised a big promise here. And Abraham is waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I'm sure after a while he's starting to think, God, are you going to ever do what you ever said? And what does Abraham do? He takes matters into his own hands. You know, sometimes that's what's easy for us to do, you know, say, God's not going to do it. Okay, alrighty then, I'm going to do it myself. You know, other times we blame ourselves for the trials we go through. You know, we start thinking, well, maybe God's judging me for what I did, you know, in the past, or maybe you know, God's trying to, maybe God's, you know, punishing me for my wrong thinking or my wrong perspectives. You start blaming yourself. And, you know, sometimes we get into things and it's like, the easiest thing is just to give up. Like, I'm done. I just want to not even think about it anymore. You know, there's a lot of different ways we can go and deal with disappointments. But none of those are God's way of dealing with disappointments. You know, here we see a good way of dealing with trials is singing and praising God. You know, were they necessarily happy? No, because they were humans like us. But, you know, once they started looking to God and trusting him and just saying, you know what, we're going to sing anyway, I believe God actually did give them a joy in their hearts. You know, God gives us a joy even through the midst of turmoil. You know, we're going through something, and God's not asking you not to struggle, because we're going to struggle. You know, whatever it is in our life, God's not saying, don't struggle. You know, take it like a man. No, that's not what he's saying. Here, God's asking us, no, you're going to struggle, but I'm asking you to trust me. And God will give a true peace in that time. You know what? Back to 2 Corinthians, you know, God gives us enough grace to go through the trial. So verses 26 through 35, I'm not going to read all these verses, but what happened? Big earthquake comes up. Okay, that's kind of interesting, you know, got this earthquake going on. But even more interesting, you know, the doors start shaking. And all the prisoners, you know, probably had metal bands and stuff to keep them from going, and all of a sudden they started like popping off. It's like, what's going on? Like, I mean, what's going on here? And, you know, doors start flying open. You know, I'm sure it's really windy. and everyone's awestruck. Like, what is going on? And here we see in verse 28, it says, "But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.'" So he is talking to the Philippian jailer here. You know, the jailer was about to kill himself. He saw, oh no, all my prisoners are probably gone. They all probably fled. And I'm probably going to die anyway because they're going to think I wasn't doing my job. Might as well just die right here. And Paul cries out. How did Paul know that he was going to kill himself at then? Could he see this jailer? Possibly not. You know, I don't know if they could see him. Maybe they could. Maybe, you know, he was stationed right in front of their doorway. We don't know, but somehow, whether or not he was right there, you know, God had him quick say, you know, stop, don't do thyself any harm. And he saved this man from within a second or two of killing himself. Wow, look at that. I mean, God just did a miracle. But then, this jailer comes over and, you know, all the prisoners are still there. Like, what? And I was thinking about this. I was like, okay, why didn't all the prisoners run away? Like, why didn't they? You know, they didn't have any, at least that I would know, they didn't have any fear of God. They didn't, they weren't saved. You know, why not run away? But I believe here that the Paul and Silas's testimony here, I believe, did something. You know, all these people around knew something was different. You know, metal bands just don't break. Doors don't just fly open. You know, for all I care, you know, people don't sing in prison after they're beaten. You know, I don't know that these people in there necessarily fully understood why these things were happening. But I believe they knew somewhat that God was somewhere. They knew, I believe that they knew that these men had God with them. I believe that, you know, they heard God, or they heard Paul and Silas singing and praising God, and I believe they were awestruck. Like, they weren't even thinking about running at this point. They were just trying to figure out what was going on. And of course, in the rest of these verses here, what do we see? We see the jailer in verse 29 says, "Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" You know, I kind of think this story, it very closely reminded me to the story of the Duartes just recently. You know, how they had a lot of things going on in their life, right? A lot of things, and their plane broke down and all that kind of stuff. And what happened, you know, they were able to get into a tribe that they would have never gotten into, and they were able to see some people saved there if those hard trials wouldn't have came. You know, here we see Paul and Silas see, you know, what seems to be like the main guard here, you know, just fall down at their feet. You know, Paul and Silas wasn't God, but he was saying, you know, I need what you have. There's something different about you, and I know that I need to trust in that. You know, it made an impact. You know, did any of the other people in prison, did they get saved? We don't know. But we see not only this jailer get saved, but we see his whole house get saved. You know, we see, you know, they get baptized. And would any of that ever happened if they would have been, you know, brought into the marketplace in front of the rulers? Would any of that happened if they would have not been beaten or, you know, cast into the inner prison or, you know, specifically even, you know, that at that certain time, you know, that guard was there, you know, protecting them or protecting them from getting out. You know, would have any of that happened? Probably not. You know, in the end, it made sense. You know, sometimes, though, in our lives, it might never make sense. You know, why does God do that? Well, we don't need to know. Sometimes it does make sense, sometimes it doesn't. But here we see that God did have a reason. You know, God saved many people from going to hell because they went through some hard times. And, you know, does that mean that, oh, you know, it's easy to go through trials. You know, just, you know, I'm going through a trial. Oh, this is great. You know, God's not asking you to do that, but we need to have His perspective. Do we have His perspective as we go through things? You know, it's easy for us to be focused so much on ourselves when we're going through hard times. You know, we look at ourselves and all we can think about is ourselves and how bad it is and, you know, nothing's worse and, you know, I'm never going to be able to get out of this. But these men looked to God. These men sang at midnight. You know, do we sing at midnight? Do we praise God in the dark? It's not easy for us. But if we would know really who God is, we would do that. You know, do we know who God is? You know, it's easy for me, it's easy for you to go on through life. You know, maybe we have, you know, have our devotions each morning. But are we really trying to get to know God? You know, if we don't know who God is, it's going to be hard for us to trust Him. You know, you don't trust just any random person on the street. Why? Because you don't know them. You know, the closer you know someone, the more you trust them. You know, do we know God for who He is? You know, God wants to give us the best. And in the perfect time, He will. But, you know, sometimes it's not the perfect time yet. You know, sometimes God's just telling us to wait. You know, because He has a reason. You know, He has, you know, I was sharing this in our DBS class this morning. You know, God's, you know, when we pray for something or when we're asking God to take us out of a trial, you know, our perspective is that God would bring us out. We're looking for the end result. We're looking for God to take us out of that. But God's end result is that we'd grow through it. You know, whether or not God takes that thing away, that's not the problem. It's, are we going to take that trial the right way? Are we going to praise Him or are we going to question Him? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, I just thank You for this passage. I just thank You for this example of Paul and Silas. I just pray that as we go throughout life, you know, whether or not right now we are going through a trial or a rough time, God, we know that we will go through things like that. And I just pray that we would get to know You. We would get to know You for who You are because we know that You always want the best for us and that You want us to grow closer to You. And I pray that as we go through those trials, that we would look up to You and praise You for who You are, and that it would make a difference to those around us, and that we would be a shining light to believers and brothers in Christ, but then also unbelievers with who we're with. So I just pray that we would just please keep that in mind. Please keep this passage on our hearts as we go throughout this week. In Jesus' name, amen.